Pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobbenmeyer.
Yeah, it's a form of godliness. That's what it is, folks. The form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. That's what the scripture says. I think that's 2 Timothy 4. You don't have to go there, Jared. Maybe it's 2 Timothy 3. A form of godliness, denying the power thereof. I was driving, my wife and I were out driving around. She wanted to go do a little bit of shopping last night. So I kind of accompanied her, although, you know, you don't accompany her when she shops. And I noticed on the way back, how many houses have up Christmas, the Christmas spirit. And I thought about two things as I was driving. Number one, I thought, wow, there's still a ray of hope that in the hearts of people is still a form of Christianity. Still is. Some of the people have up Christmas trees. They probably don't even know the Christmas story, many of them. They probably don't. Christmas is a tradition unto itself. They don't understand what it's supposed to be about. And then there's the other aspect of it. There are people who put up Christmas trees and maybe have some of the Lord in their heart, but aren't active Christians. Aren't active Christians. That's what Scripture's talking about. A form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such men turn away. See, if the Christian spirit was alive and well in America, we would not have the leadership that we have in America today. We wouldn't have most of what we see going on. We wouldn't have it. And it's easy to get frustrated. We were talking a little bit before we went on the air here about QAnon and the Trump and the swamp. And I've kind of pulled back for that. I don't know if you guys have noticed. I really haven't spoken a whole lot about it because here's what I think. Whatever's going on is going on. I wrote about this about 2 weeks ago. I said, we're going to know here. Remember, it's going to be December 5th, and it was going to be this, and it was going to be this. And I've just kind of pulled back, and I don't get caught up in the diversion of it anymore because I think a lot of it is bait and switch. I think a lot of it is mind games that are being played with us. But I think something's happening. I don't know what it is, and I don't get anxious thinking, oh, golly, tomorrow's the day it's going to happen. I'm not there, but I believe that, folks, too many people are boldly breaking the law in their hatred for Trump. Too many are. Something crazy going on. And I think one of the things that's being exposed, remember the scriptures teach us that because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will wax cold. Lawlessness is abounding. It is abounding. It is everywhere you look. In fact, Jared, I don't even know if I have time to send this. I'll see if I can. I just saw this meme on Facebook. No, I didn't. I lost it. I don't know if I've ever seen a time when people were so obviously investigating someone for crimes when there were more crimes that were obvious that are not being investigated. Something. The Lord is revealing something to us. I don't know exactly what it is. And he's revealing it to us through America, which I still believe is the heartbeat of Christianity. Say what you want to about it. If Christianity fails in America, boys, we're done. Christianity isn't done. But if Christianity does not carry the day in America, and America slips off into atheistic communism, it's going to be a dark, dark day for the world. And so then we begin to ask ourselves at that point, well, is the rapture coming? And is it the end times? And see, I think that that's been the problem. End times, in my opinion, has been the problem. And the reason we haven't fought back, the reason we haven't stood up, the reason so many of these things have happened is we've become convinced that it's the end times and it's just going to get worse. And so we're going to find out here very soon, is it the end times and are things going to get worse? Or the prophet Joel said, in the last days, he would pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Sons and daughters shall prophesy. Young men shall dream dreams. Old men shall dream visions. Is there an outpouring, a great outpouring of the Spirit of God still coming upon the world? And I think that the jury is still out. I don't know that we know, but I'm going to tell you this. What you believe, you serve the God you see. Your theology makes a difference. It makes a difference. And I'm going to give you some examples of that here today. I don't know how I had that on me, because it's just all over. Something's going on, man. Something's happening here, right? Something's going on. And I don't think any of us really understand it. I don't think that unless you're attuned to the Spirit and you have the ability to discern evil and good, we've lost all that, right? In America, we can't even. Woe to those who call good evil and evil good. Woe unto those. And we are in a nation today where evil is being called good and good is being called evil. And that certainly is a sign of the end times. But does that mean it's the end times? I don't know. I'm a football coach. I remember a lot of times during the course of the game, I thought it was the end times. I thought I had the opponent buried. We scored a touchdown, and man, so that's it. But that did him in, and it didn't. It didn't. So be careful. So I say be careful. I'm going to show you some stuff here this morning. I woke up this morning with a little bit more of a light heart. I don't know why. A little bit more lighthearted this morning. You guys got to admit this. I'm not patting myself on the back, although last few shows been unbelievable. I pondered that thing all day yesterday. Salvation, what it means to be saved. And to think how we have used that word in the church. And if we've used that word incorrectly, inappropriately, what it means to be saved, if we've used that word wrong, is it any wonder that we're in the mess that we're in? Saved says preserved from evil, injury, or destruction. Spared, taken in time. Saved. What does it mean to be saved? Are you saved? Is he saved? And saved means what? Preserved from evil. Preserved from evil. I think after you get preserved from evil, then it's up to you to do something. And I was so moved by yesterday. I was out for my walk. I got 6 miles in yesterday, praise the Lord. And I called, I was walking. Man, when you get out alone, you and the Lord and the dog, and whoever you might be listening to on the radio, this came to me. It was so strong that I picked up the phone and I called David Arthur, who was at the museum, the Ark Museum. And I said, you know, David, listen, because David's been talking on, if you guys haven't been watching his show, you maybe don't know this. David has been talking about the once saved, always saved doctrine. And so I said, I called and I said, listen, David, I got to run this by you because I never thought of it. What is saved? Jared, pull it back up there. Once saved, always saved. What's saved? Preserved from evil. Jared, go to Psalm 91. Hey, look, folks, this is just coming from the Holy Spirit right now. This is what I wouldn't plan on doing. Hey, just stay with me here a second. Okay? Preserved from evil. Psalm 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High abides under the shadow of the Almighty. There it is. Saved, preserved from evil. If you're dwelling in the Holy Spirit, you're abiding under the shadow of the Most High, you are protected or preserved from evil. So I called David and said, listen, David, could it be that we have this once saved, always saved things wrong? We're thinking saved means going to heaven, saved from hell. And that in the end, those who endure to the end will be saved. Ultimately, it will be about that. But right now, could it be that salvation only means once saved, always saved? When you enter into the presence of the Lord, you dwell under that secret place of the Most High, that place is always there for you. Once you're there, once you're saved, you're always saved. But you can walk out from under. You can walk away from that safety. You can walk away from your relationship with the Lord. You can walk away and doodle and diddle and other stuff. But once saved, always saved, meaning you can run back. You can come back. You can repent. You can come back. But see, if we're thinking once saved, always saved means heaven, hell, it changes the whole perspective. So I began to think about that and in my own walk with the Lord and think how safe it is in that secret place of the Most High when I dwell under that shadow. But I couldn't get under the shadow of the Almighty until I received Christ, till I was saved. Man, this is so deep. It's so deep. Somebody come in here. I'm sure some of you other guys have been thinking about it as well. Somebody come in here and see if you've connected any dots in the last couple of days we've been digging into stuff.
Hey, Coach. Yes. Don't they always, here's the deal. We sit in one spot and we think about what's going on. But did we move or did God move? And if God didn't move, that means we went where we weren't supposed to go, and we have to get back with him. And like you said, we got to repent in order to do that.
So we know that in the Old Testament, they moved under the cloud, didn't they? They moved under the cloud, and when you move out of the protection, when you get under the cloud, you're saved. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High abides under the shadow of the Almighty, but you can walk away from it. You can walk out from under that protection. But the protection is always available, and the only way you get back in is you come back and you repent, and you come back into the right relationship with the Lord. I'm working out my own salvation here in Trim. I'm working it out. Because unfortunately, or fortunately, however you would, boys and girls, they taught me a lot of stuff. I don't think just a lot of stuff that's not true or mistaught. Some of it was done on purpose. Some of it was just done through traditions of men, but there's a lot of stuff that we believe and we have been taught our whole life that simply isn't the truth or the whole truth. Yes, go ahead.
Hey, Coach, wouldn't you agree that the physical and spiritual, they parallel each other? So I was just, because here in Oklahoma, we get some huge rainstorms, and I'm picturing we've got these big, huge umbrellas. And as long as you stay under that umbrella in a rainstorm, you really stay relatively dry. Mm-hmm. But if you choose to put the umbrella down and walk out from under it, you're going to get soaking wet. And to me, mm-hmm. that parallels what you're saying. It really becomes a decision to walk out from under God's protection. And everything you're saying, it just makes sense because it parallels the physical.
And you can go back under it, can't you? You can go back under that. Why? Because you've been saved. You're welcome. You're in that relationship. Jared, go back again. I'm sorry, Jared. Webster's grace. What was grace? What was grace? Grace was favor, goodwill, kindness, disposition to oblige another. Appropriately, the free, unmerited love and favor of God. When you are saved, you now have the free, unmerited, and favor of God. It's there, but you can walk away from it. You can walk out and from under it, but you can always return. So in that aspect of it, once saved, in other words, once having a relationship with God, always having a relationship with God, but you can walk away. Anybody think of this? Yes.
So Dave, I was going to add a little bit more on George's analogy there, is that you don't actually even have to come out from underneath the umbrella to get wet. See, the closer you get to the edge of it, you start getting your pant legs wet. You see, so now you just got a little bit of wet on you. Okay, well, how long does that last? See, once your feet get wet, you're miserable. Okay, so, I'm just saying that, moving any outside of the edge, towards the edge, is away from the pole. If you're not hanging on to the pole, you're going to get wet, period.
Amen, Chad, and remember this. This is a spiritual life we're living, not a physical life. We are spiritual beings. And so those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High doesn't mean that bad things are going to happen, not going to happen to you physically, because this is not a physical experience we're having. It's a spiritual experience in a physical world. But if you are drawn near to the Lord and you are saved and you're under the shadow of the Almighty, there shall be no evil befall you and no plague come near your dwelling. Spiritually, the spiritual. Spiritual, not physical, because we all know accidents happen. We all know, no matter how closely you're drawn to the Lord, that you can be afflicted physically. We understand all that. We're talking about a spiritual relationship with God, a spiritual one. And we want to make everything natural and physical, and that's not the way it is. Go ahead, Paul. You were trying to come in.
Well, I just kind of was going to piggyback a lot of even what Chad and George were saying, because, you know, it says it rains on the just and the unjust.
Mm.
But that umbrella, even though it's raining, you're covered, you're protected.
Right.
You know, ten thousand fall on your right side, you know, fall on your left side. But even though all that's happening, you're under the protection of the Almighty. If you stay mm-hmm. in that, then even though that stuff is going to happen, you're protected. And so that's
well, and Coach, I'll just want to say too, if you're not getting any flack, you ain't over the target. If you ain't getting it hit with something, if you're not having adversity strike you, then you're not a threat to the dark side.
Well,
you
Chad,
must be a threat to get attacked. For get attacked, you've got to be a threat.
That's why you have to have the covering. That's why you have to have an umbrella. That's why you have to dwell under he dwells in the secret place of the Almighty. Why? Because there are slings and arrows coming at you.
But that's also, to Coach, why you need to have the full armor of God on as well.
So do you see how this whole thing is?
Give us a rapture, because we'll get out of the way before the arrows hit us. Come on.
Yeah, we're missing it, are we not? See, we are making everything physical when the Lord is speaking spiritually. He's talking to us spiritually about spiritual things. The Lord said, if you've not understood worldly things, how are you going to understand spiritual things? He said, if you don't get it when I'm talking to you about things you can touch, smell, feel, if you don't get it about that, you ain't never going to disappear. That's what the Lord said. And so when you get saved, you now have the ability to understand spiritual. That's what I'm saying, right? And again, what is mercy? Jared's got it up on the screen. What's mercy? Not getting what you deserve. That's mercy.
Hey, let me share something.
Huh?
Hey, let me share something. This is Glenn.
Hey, Glenn.
So, you know, there was a time where, how can I put this? Let's say there was a time where I drifted. Let me use that word. I drifted away from the faith. You know, I was active in the church, and I observed there were some things that happened with the leadership in the church, and I got disillusioned. Mm-hmm. So I just threw in the towel. I said, I don't have anything to do with this anymore. So I drifted away for, I would say, 3 or 4 years. But you know what? During that period of time, I didn't want to go to church. I didn't want to read my Bible. I was just doing my own thing. The Lord was always on my mind. You know, He just let me out. He let out enough line. You know, like think of a fisherman. He just let out some line, let me do my own thing. But I was always, he was always there in my conscience.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then, you know, eventually I came back to him, but the Lord, he'll let us do our own thing. All right. He's not gonna not let the rope out if we just walk away.
Well, how many of you are listening to this discussion right now? Your heart's breaking over one of your own children that's walked out from under even your cover. They've walked away and they're not living the way that you've taught them to live. But your love is always available if they'll return and come home and live by your set of rules. Your arms are always open to them. But see, here's the difference. That relationship that you have with your children, or I say my grandchildren, my relationship with my grandchildren is entirely different than my relationship with my children. And I know most of you would agree with that. That I never, ever, ever stop wanting their best interest. Best interest. God so loved the world. I never, ever stop wanting what's best. But sometimes they step out from under the blessing, the covering of the Dobenmeyer family. They step out from under that and they're getting rained on. And it grieves me to watch them get rained on. And I say, come on back in here. Get back on this umbrella. See, that's what I think. When you are adopted, when you become a child of God, you are adopted into that family. You're under the umbrella. You're in relationship with the Lord, but you can walk away from it. And as somebody said earlier, sometimes we got to look at the mess we're in and ask ourselves, who moved? Did he move or did I move? What happened here? Am I keeping up with it? Am I hearing the wrong voices? Am I moving in the wrong way? And so understand this, just as a parent's heart is broken for a wayward child, I believe the Lord's heart is broken for wayward children as well. But just like you cannot make your child return home, the Lord can't make you return home. He's welcomed you with open arms. Now listen, these are those who were or are already his children, saved. Could it be that those people who walk an aisle and say a prayer in a church on Sunday, they really are saved? The Lord really has started this relationship with them, but nobody trains them, nobody disciples them, and they're out living in the world, but they still have that relationship with God. God planted that seed in them, and you can come back, and once saved, always saved. And what's saved again? Protection from evil. That protection for evil is always available. All you do is just come back. Just come back and get under my covering, get under my, I'm seeing this thing different. But see, if we take salvation to be only saved from hell, I think we missed the entire relationship.
So I think you're kind of explaining it as, if you can hear me.
I can hear you. It's kind
of the being saved is like if you played like freeze tag or whatever when you was a kid, you'd run to the tree. That's base. So saved is you go, you might drift out there a little bit and try to do your own thing. But when they come after you, you run back to the tree to get a break, to get some whatever, you know.
See, you're accepted back there, right? You're accepted. What is the – ooh, the righteous run in. How's that song go? The righteous run in. The righteous run in, and they are saved. Oh, my goodness. I wish I can think. Hey, by the way, Jared, our good buddy Mark Trump's trying to get in. Says he can't get in. I said, look for him there, all right? Righteous run into and they are. Anybody know that song besides me? See, the righteous run in and they are saved. What is that song, Lord? What is that song? The righteous run into and they are saved. Where's Dale Social when I need him? Because we dwell in the secret place. You can run in and out. You can run out from under that covering. And to be saved means you always have the ability to return back. You are always a member of that family. But understand that you have to endure to the end to be totally and completely saved. You have the ability to be saved. God's protection is upon you, but you have to endure under that in order to be saved in the end. Yes, go ahead.
Isn't your desire to be near him greater and more powerful against sin when you're under the umbrella?
Well, yes, and you're not getting wet from the world.
Yes.
Not getting wet from the world.
See, I found in my own walk, the closer I am to him in my own relationship, the less I want to sin. So it behooves me to come under the umbrella because it lessens my desire to sin in a manner that is, you know, is wrong.
Yeah, and think of this relationship that all of us adults now, we all have the relationship we all have with our own children. And as a father, as I look back on my life, I crave a more intimate relationship with my children. Where did I drop the ball that I don't have that intimate relationship? Or better this, with my own father, my earthly father. And now that my earthly father is gone, and now that I'm older and I understand what's going on, I often sit around in the mornings and I think about my dad and I think about my mom and how they did what I'm doing right now. And how unappreciative I was of what my mom and dad did for me. And now I look at my own kids and how unappreciative my own kids are of how what I did for them. And it's the same relationship that we have with the Lord. It's for the most part a one-way relationship. The Lord wants to have a relationship. We walk out from under the covering. He says, doggone it. Doggone it. I wish I could have a better relationship with my children. Anybody picking that up of me? See, we mirror the relationship mirrors what our relationship with the Lord is supposed to be. And when my children walk out from under that covering and violate whatever they violate, my love for them is not any less, but the grieving is more. My heart's broken.
Hey, Coach, can I read a verse, James 1:21?
Yes.
Can you hear me okay?
I hear you great.
Okay. So this is what James said. This is to Christ, the church. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your soul.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Coach, I'm going to throw this out there. You guys judge it. When we're born again, has nothing to do with our soul. Our spirit becomes alive unto God.
Amen.
That is what happens at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. As we walk from that point, that moment on, our soul is being saved. It is always being saved.
Amen.
Now, when we do not walk under his authority, under that covering, and in his word, and by his spirit, our soul, it's going to be what it is. We're probably going to do our own will, and we're out from under his covering.
Amen.
But when we walk under that covering and in his will, our soul is being saved. It's continually. It's sanctification.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the end, our body will be saved in the future. So it's all three parts of our body. So I think as we define the spirit, soul, and body, and teach on that, I think it's going to bring a lot of clarity to a lot of things, Coach.
Amen, brother. Amen. You know, that song as you were speaking there, that song came back to me. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into, and they are saved. Name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into, and they are saved, right? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, Most High. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord on high. So listen, the righteous, what does it mean to be righteous? What does it mean to be righteous? It means you have been set right with God. Now, don't miss this. The name of the Lord is a strong tower that those who are already made righteous can run into. So it shows the ability to move in and out. In and out. That's what it means to be saved. You can always run. It's better for us if we dwell in that secret place, if we live under. But if we stumble and we get drawn away by our own lust and enticed, we can run back into the name of the Lord. We can run back into that. That's the way I'm reading it. Man, oh man, I wasn't going to talk on this again today.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
What if we don't make it back in time?
I don't think we're endured to the end. I don't think we endured to the end. And I don't think the Lord's happy about it. How many people out there do you know who have a child who died and they're estranged? Or how many people do you know who are estranged children and the father dies and the relationship is never restored? They are never back in right relationship. When Jesus came and he died on the cross, he destroyed the works of the devil. And what did he do? What was the word we saw? He reconciled the world unto him. He whatever burden, whatever was there, whatever is broken, he repaired and he brought whoever will to come back. He restored that relationship. And so you think about some of you right now, your father died and you were not reconciled to your dad. Or your mother died and you weren't reconciled to your dad. Or your brother died or your sister or somebody and you feel guilty to this day that you let that hurt or whatever it was. You let it fester and you never made it right. And it's the exact same in a spiritual sense, the same thing with the Lord. If you've been adopted into his family, you're one of his kids. What do you think the story of the prodigal son is all about? He was away and he ran back to the Father. So I believe once saved, always saved means that you forever have this relationship with the Lord on his behalf, but you can break it and you can walk out from under it. And if you don't endure it to the end, you're not going to be saved.
Oh, isn't that called free will?
That's the purpose of free will. Am I? Yeah, I don't even, is that Arminianism or Calvinism or Tochiism? I don't know what it is. But to me, that just makes sense.
Well, here's a heavy thought from a farmer. Okay. When a sheep leaves the flock and is lost, what does the shepherd do?
Mm. Yes, sir, he looks for him.
He doesn't wait for the sheep to come back. He goes out and looks.
He's still part of the flock too, isn't he, Lowell? No matter, even though he's wandered off, he's still part of the flock. But Lowell, what if he gets eaten out there by a coyote?
Well, Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Okay.
Amen.
Now you go back to Genesis. When Adam left the Lord, God walked through Eden, and what did he say? He said, "Where are you? Where did you go? Where are you?"
Mm-hmm.
In John 15:16, the Lord said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide."
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this once saved, always saved, this is a big argument. This is a big discussion. And I'll pose something to you, because this goes back to Calvinism and predestination and people's misunderstanding of that. Okay. God knows what is going to happen. How can he know what is going to happen if he does not already know what choice we make? He doesn't see things as a beginning and an end.
No,
he sees things all at once. He knows the beginning. He knows the end. He knows the end before the beginning. So he already knows what our choice has been.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, George.
You know what we're talking about this morning, about running in and out of God's protection, that umbrella, man, for years of my Christian walk. And then probably like many, I figured out it's so much better. There's really not happiness in the world. I mean, there's, you know, when you're younger, you think, oh, you know, running around and doing all the wild things that I did, it was temporary pleasure. Mm-hmm. I think when you come to the point and I think it's a maturity, as you mature as a Christian, you realize, man, you don't want to leave that umbrella. You don't want to get your pant legs wet, because your feet get wet and you're miserable. And when you use that eternal joy daily, you don't want to leave it. And I think it's a maturity thing, because I think God does have great compassion. He does know who's saved, who's really sincere. And, you know, I think it's just an immature Christian that, like I was, that goes in and out continually.
Yeah, seeking your own lust, right? You're pursuing your own lust. And the modern church is teaching us that that's basically okay. You learn to control your lust, but really God, Jesus died on that cross so that you could be happy and, you know, he loves you and he accepts you and all that malarkey that goes along with it. It's pretty deep.
And one more thing. It is a bit of Russian roulette, though, because, you know, it's presumptuous, especially as you mature, if you continue to do that, it is because a mature person should know better. When you're still learning, but when you're mature, you should say, you know what, I'm not going to keep doing that same stuff. You know, I can't presume that I will be saved. You know, maybe I'm real. I won't be if I keep doing nonsense when I now know better.
Okay, so I'm going to think, is it Jared, when lust is conceived, I think it's in James. Pull that up there. When lust is conceived. James 1:15, pull that up there. This is what George is talking about, I think. Just go to James 1. Right there. Keep on going down. A double mind is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother low degree. For the son, 11, 12. Start at 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Okay, now listen, remember, James is writing to believers. Okay? Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, not if, but when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, God did that. Because God can't be tempted with evil. Neither does God tempt any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Jared, you can be saved and enticed. Look up enticed. You can be saved and enticed. Saved and enticed. Let's see here. Enticed. Incited. Instigated to evil. Seduced by promises or persuasion. Persuaded. Allured. Think about the things that entice you. So you can be born again and enticed. Seduced by promises or persuaded or allured, okay? Back to James, Jared. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust. It's your own lust, the pride of life. It's your own lust. Sometimes it's the devil. Sometimes it's your carnal nature that draws you away. You're enticed and drawn away. Then when that happens, it says, when lust hath given birth, little sin babies, when lust has conceived, then it gives birth to sin. Lust creates little sin babies. And sin, when it is finished, dude, it's going to kill you. It's going to kill you. So back to 1 John 3:8, for this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he would destroy the works of the devil. What's the works of the devil? Sin. And your enticement and your temptations are not sin. They are merely the sperm, if you will, to the seed that gives birth to the sin. The thoughts, the pride of the eye, the pride of life, the lust of the eye, all of that are oppositions to purity, lack of a better word. But if you dwell in the secret place of the Most High and abide under the shadow of the Almighty, if you are truly saved, you now for the first time have power that you never had power. That's the story, and I'm sticking to it. Somebody come on in here.
Right. That was a big game.
Yeah, I really like James. But that's another that reminds me of the verse that says the wages of sin are death.
Well, how about this, Glenn? Verse 16 of James 1. Do not err, my brethren. He says, listen, dude, it's up to you. It's up to you. You got the power to say no to all that stuff, man. Hey, dude, don't err. Don't err.
Well, it also says that count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Patience have her good, you know, have her work so that you'll be built up.
Hey, Glenn, dare I say it? Are you working out your own salvation? Working out your own salvation? Getting victory step by step by step, getting stronger as you resist, stronger as you ignore, stronger as you draw close. I think so. See, temptation can be nothing more than just another day to work out, another day at the gym. And after you get victory over that, whatever that temptation is, you guys know, hey, you know those besetting sins, don't you? Those besetting sins that keep coming back on you. As David Arthur would say, residue, those besetting sins, those ones that you used to have victory over. Then you stop exercising it so much, and then all of a sudden your belly gets soft and that thing comes creeping back in. See, without the power of the Holy Spirit being saved, Jared, what's saved? Can you go back to Webster? What's it mean to be saved, Jared? Preserved from evil. Without the Holy Spirit having saved you, preserving you from evil, if you listen to the Holy Spirit, He will guide you into all truth. He's never going to guide you into evil. Lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. He will never lead you to evil. Why? Because you are saved. However, you can walk out on your own when you are tempted and enticed. And when you get tempted and enticed, you got to wiggle your way back to the base trunk of the tree. There's probably some of you listening right now think I'm a heretic. I'm just telling you. This revelation is coming even as we discuss it. I'm not saved. I endure to the end to be saved. I'm not saved now. Yes, I am. I'm preserved from evil. Right now, I am. If I apply the power that's been given to me, no temptation has come upon me but that which is common to man. God is faithful. He will not allow me to be tempted beyond that which I can withstand. Why? Because I'm saved.
Amen.
With temptation, He'll provide a way out. Why? I'm saved. I'm protected, preserved from evil. I'm preserved from that if I'm saved. But I can be unsaved. No, I can't be unsaved. Once saved, always saved. I can walk out from under that salvation. Oh, man. Oh, man. You want me to keep going? Or that's not what I meant. Anybody got anything to add? Now I'm going to shift gears.
Did you, I guess this might be a question for people, is when you are sinning, when you are perpetually sinning, so say pornography or alcoholism.
Or being mean to your wife, right?
Right.
Or
are you close? But when you stop doing that, when you stop sinning, when you actually stop sinning and you defeat that, are you closer to God in a way? Like, does it repair that relationship with God when you stop sinning, you know?
I think I stopped sinning because I'm closer to God. Let me take you back yesterday to the story I told about little David. After he got hugged for saying he was sorry, he wanted me to know every time he said it. He wanted to come back into for that affirmation, that love of Grandpa. He wanted to come back to it. And I think it's the same thing. I think. You love Him by doing His will. That's how you show you love the Lord. The only way that you can possibly show the Lord that you love the Lord is not going to praise and worship the church, lifting your hands and singing to Him. So you love me, you keep my commandments. You love me, I see it in the way you live. That's how you show your love to the Lord. You do what He asks you to do.
And Lord, Coach, this is Tim. If you walk back in and you want the Lord to love you and you need Him to love you. The thing is, you want Him. You have to keep His commandments, like you said, but you also have to repent and reevaluate the situation that you were in. And it also says in the Bible, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Because you're my child, because I've adopted you.
That's what it means. See, it doesn't say you can't leave Him. It says He will never leave you. He is the rock. He does not. So I just got back. I was, as you guys know, we were down in Florida, down there for. I went left here Friday, Sunday morning, and I got back on late Friday night. And I got to tell you something. I just wanted to come home and just sit, enjoy where I was. Joy being home, joy being with my wife. That's like returning to the Lord, isn't it? Isn't there a joy, a comfort that when you walk out from under it, even though I was doing the work of the Lord, when I came back home, there was something about being back under that umbrella, that shadow of the Almighty. Why? Because I'm saved. That's where I'm preserved. back there. I got a roof over our house, rain, snow, everything tries to get in, but I'm preserved, I'm under it. Doesn't mean the rain's quit falling, it's just not falling on me. Feeling kind of like a soft here. Huh? The alphabet man's back in there. Hey, David, I want to ask you, I want you to say something here, man, if you can get in here real quick. I watched that little video that you made. Hey, David, talk to them yesterday. When you went to the Ark, you told me that you just had an overwhelming sense of what, David? When you went on that tour of the Ark, how was it you worded that?
It was overwhelming. It was humbling, is exactly what it was, because when you start looking at it and reading, and it's all in one place, and you're not just reading a chapter and then putting your Bible away for till tomorrow, when it's all right in your face and you start looking at it and you see the numbers of people that were on the earth in the flood, and then it hit me. I was sobbing, walking through here a couple of times, just sobbing, because it hit me that there were estimated maybe almost a billion people on the planet.
Yeah, at the time of Noah's Ark, there were a billion people on the Ark.
Even if it was just a million, only eight survived. Only eight people came through that. And if that's not a narrow gate, then I don't know what a narrow gate is, because eight people, I couldn't even tell you a fraction, what kind of fraction that is of a billion people. And it just told me that we not only have our work cut out for us in doing what we've been commissioned to do, which is not save people, but we have our work cut out for us, our works cut out for us to remain faithful and endure till the end and stay under that covering.
That leads me into Jared. Thanks, David. Jared, go to Drag Queen Hour.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
I know something just came to me, like a tree. You know, people say low hanging fruit. The further you're away from the branch or the vine, your low-hanging fruit, you can be easily picked off by the enemy.
Amen.
So I don't know. That's just something that came to me and thought about that. Don't become low-hanging fruit.
Now, Paul, here's the way I turn that one around. People say to me, Coach, you're always out there on a limb. So why do you do that? I said, man, that's where all the fruit is. Right? That's where all the fruit is, man. It ain't near the trunk of the tree. It's all out there hanging out there where nobody wants to go and get it. I want to show this little video this morning. It's from Nicholas Held, who's Nick Follett listens to this show. I didn't get his permission. He posted this on Facebook, and I want to show you this for a reason. He showed up at a one of these drag queen hours. You go to the library and they have the drag queen read. Now I want you to see this. This is only about 1:07. And then when we get done watching this, I want to take you down to the comments, and I want to see what you think. Go ahead and play this, Jared. So Nicholas shows up at the library. They're doing Drag Queen Story Hour at his local library. He shows up.
Boys and girls, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, and I'm here to tell you that what you're seeing today is a perversion of God's holy law.
Don't touch me.
Get your hands off me, please. Get your hands off me. This is a perversion of God's holy law. Get your hands off me. Stop touching me. Get your hands off me. Stop. Stop. Get your hands off me. Stop touching me. Please stop touching me. Please stop touching me. This is a perversion of God's law, and you know it. God hates this. Turn to Jesus Christ. He can save you, sir. Get your hands off me.
You're going down.
Get your hands off me now. Is this how you treat people who disagree with you? You toss them out. You assault them. You force them out of the building who disagree with you. Is this how you treat Christians? How you treat people who disagree with you? Turn to Jesus Christ, sir. He can save you.
Okay, now, Jared, let's go down to the comments. I found the comments striking. Thank you for standing up against this nonsense. I love how he kicked you out. I just love how he was kicked out by those who don't want to be subject to the message. Then this one, Christian without insanity. I don't understand why you were trying to do here. You show up uninvited to an event that has nothing to do with you, and you want sympathy for being removed from the building. And you call this God's work? What's wrong with you? This isn't God's work. This is you acting stupid. Next one, you trespassed on a private event. You're lucky you weren't tripped down those steps. God's work is never rude or pushy. It's people like you that make Christians look like terrible people. Thanks for that. Also, you've looked at the Drag Queen Story Hour. They're just people reading to children. They're not talking about sex or parades or musical theater. They're reading children's books to children. And you barge in on that, Bible in hand, and tell everyone what's wrong with this. DeFarge is wrong with you.
Hey, Kurt.
Yes, yes.
Those idiots that said that, they're stupid. First of all, he's a taxpayer, okay? He paid for that library. He has every right to be in there to proclaim that truth.
Right.
So, who's, you know, first of all, there's just stupidity on the just the basic level, you know.
But see, here's the stupidity of it. Not recognize the evil that's taking place in there, see? We are immune. We think if it doesn't hurt us, it's not harmful. If it doesn't, well, how does that affect me? It's just people reading stories to kids, right? It's part of the brainwashing. It's part of the indoctrination. It's part of the infiltration. I think Nick's a hero myself. I don't think what he did was out of line. I don't think he was out. They were doing perversion, have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather exposed them. Now, here's what something, I don't know if Nick's listening. I know he does listen. Here's one thing that I would say. It's a perfect example of why people need to get saved. Because when they get saved, their eyes are enlightened that they can see good from evil. When Nick was saying to those guys, come to Jesus so that you can be saved. See, I'm not being critical, Nick, if you're watching. They're thinking, or we're thinking, from hell. Nick's saying, open your eyes and you'll be able to see. Get saved and you'll be able to see.
Amen, Coach. That's the key. That's the key. If they don't have the app, they don't understand. Their eyes have scales on them.
And so Glenn, do we have a responsibility then to take sight to the blind?
Amen.
We do, see?
The only way this country can change is through God changing the heart of man. But that won't happen until man's eyes have been opened. So we have an obligation. We have a commission to go and tell people.
Amen. JR just put in the chat there. I'm not criticizing JR. JR said, isn't this pearl before swine? Well, we don't know we're swine till we present it to them, right? I think probably we know some swine now. There might have been somebody in there who could have been perfectly influenced by what he had the chance to say. We don't know this. The guy that walked him out clearly was a swine, I think. I don't know, man. See, again,
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, go ahead, Jeff.
Here's the example we've used over the 12 years of the strip club. The pearls before the swine, that's not pearls before the swine in the library, but it's the back door of the foxhole when the same guys over and over and over and over, week after week after week, then that's the swine. But the customer coming in the strip club is a new guy.
That's right. And so those new children, this is not, if the point Jeff's making, it's well made, Jeff, is that if you've presented it to it over and over and they continue rejecting it, then you're throwing your pearl before swine. Don't do that. But to walk into a place like that, see, in my opinion, we need more of that. We need more of that. Hey, can I show you why? Hey, Jared, can I show you why? Jared, go down to where it says Homo Manifesto. This is where I was going to talk a little bit about this today. This is 3 minutes, so we got to hurry. This is our buddy Bradley Dean. This is our Hey, boys and girls, this is Library Talk. Bradley Dean, 3 minutes and 20 seconds. This is the. Should we go? Should we go into that library and defend go ahead, Jared, play it. Bradley Dean.
Gay Manifesto by Michael Swift, first published in Gay Community News, February 15th through the 21st in 1987. It is also reprinted in the Congressional Record. This is what it states. We shall sodomize your sons, emblems of your feeble masculinity, of your shallow dreams and vulgar lies. We shall seduce them in your schools, in your dormitories, in your gymnasiums, in your locker rooms, in your sports arenas, in your seminaries, in your youth groups, in your movie theater bathrooms, in your army bunkhouses, in your truck stops, in all your male clubs, in your House of Congress, whenever men are with men together. Your sons shall become our minions and do our biddings. They will be recast into our image. All laws banning homosexual activity will be revoked. Instead, legislation shall be passed which engenders love between men. All homosexuals stand together as brothers. We shall triumph only when we present a common face to the vicious heterosexual enemy. If you dare to cry faggot, it states, fairy, queer, at us, we will stab you in your cowardly hearts and defile your dead, puny bodies. We will unmask the powerful homosexuals who masquerade as heterosexuals. You will be shocked and frightened when you find that your presidents and their sons, your industrialists, your senators, your mayors, your generals, your athletes, your film stars, your television personalities, your civic leaders, your priests, are not the safe, familiar, heterosexual figures you assume them to be. We are everywhere. We have infiltrated your ranks. Be careful when you speak of homosexuals because we are always among you. We may be sitting across the desk from you. We may be sleeping in the same bed with you. All churches who condemn us will be closed. Our only gods are handsome young men. For us, too much is not enough. All males who insist on remaining stupidly heterosexual will be tried in homosexual courts of justice and will become invisible men. We shall rewrite history, history filled and debased with your heterosexual lies and distortions. We shall be victorious because we are filled with the ferocious bitterness of the oppressed who have been forced to play seemingly bit parts in your dumb heterosexual shows throughout the age. We too are capable of firing guns and manning the barricades of the ultimate revolution. Tremble, hetero swine, when we appear before you without our masks. Have you heard?
Oh, I wish it was funny, right? I wish it was funny.
Yeah, it's not funny because they tried to put this out as a hoax. They tried to say that this is a hoax, but they're doing it. Are we supposed to believe our lying eyes? Okay,
So listen, let me connect the dot here. This is why they need saved. Not for heaven or hell, but so that they can have a relationship with God that will make sense to them, that they can begin to understand their evil. Salvation means something other than what we mean it to be.
Coach, let me say something. This is not what they're doing. This is what they've done. This is their agenda, and it's been completed. And so now they've just laid a foundation for the next movement, which is
David, how does that hurt you, David? How does that affect your marriage, David? Mm. As you said, David, they don't have the gay flags hanging in the retirement centers, do they?
They don't want the old folks. They just want your children and your grandchildren.
They don't want those old folks. They just want those young folks. Oh, my goodness. That's why I didn't get to my commentary today. I sent it to somebody you want to read. I'll talk about it a little bit tomorrow. It's the tale of two lawmen. Do we need Barney Fife? or do we need Wyatt Earp? God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.